Good evening, everybody. Thank you for coming. Tonight we're going to talk about it's going to be a Shehecheyanu Shir, or a Tu B'Shvat Shir, and to appreciate the question of whether one should say Shehecheyanu on fruits that they could buy if they go to the right store all year long. You want to get strawberries in the middle of December? No problem. You want to get kiwis in the middle of January? No problem. You want to get coconuts in the middle of February? No problem. So do you make a bracha on those? And more than that, let's say not only do we have imported fruits from the kiwis from New Zealand, v'chadome, and bananas from Ecuador, so we also sometimes use refrigeration. I remember driving up the Bik'ah in Eretz Yisrael from Yerushalayim to Tveria, and along the way, you sort of driving northwards along the borders with Jordan, and there are huge amounts of date fields. And if you've ever noticed, there's one place where there is a gigantic refrigeration center for fruits, a fruit refrigeration center the size of like 8 of these buildings put together, just for the farmers to refrigerate their dates so that they could ship them. So you can have these fresh dates that are fresh all year long, not just seasonally. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. But to appreciate the question, I want to learn with you a halacha, a very beautiful Yerushalmi that will put a lot of things in context. This line, this Yerushalmi was first told to me by somebody who is a ski aficionado who travels the world to the most exotic ski resorts in terms of New Zealand and the Swiss Alps. And whenever he's questioned about this habit that he has of going to the most exotic ski resorts in the world, he quotes the following Yerushalmi. The reason why I quoted the Mishnah Berurah first, because so that you realize that this Yerushalmi is cited in the halachas of Birchas Shehecheyanu, which is the Siman Reish Chaf Hei, which we're going to be really working on this sugya of Reish Chaf Hei. And the Mishnah Berurah says, well, let's skip the Mishnah Berurah. Let's see the Yerushalmi itself in source number 2. Yerushalmi, Kiddushin, Perek Dalet, the very last line of the Yerushalmi in all of Maseches Kiddushin. So you don't have to remember the Maror Makom, just open up Yerushalmi to the last line of Kiddushin. This is what the Yerushalmi says. Asid Adam liten din v'cheshbon al kol shera'asa eino v'lo achal. Based on this, my dear friend, who will remain nameless at the moment, says, I'm going to have to give a din v'cheshbon on every slope, on any mountain, on any sunset that I haven't seen, and therefore it's my duty to fulfill this Yerushalmi, to experience the most incredible mountains and experiences that I can experience, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a beautiful world, and He didn't give it to us just to tease us, He gave it to us to enjoy and to appreciate out of His chesed, and therefore we have a din cheshbon. And I think the Mefarshim point out that it's in the same way, a nazir has to bring a korban chatas because he was misagif atzma min hayayin. So too, somebody who is asters upon himself or doesn't partake of the tanugim and the opportunities that a Kadosh Baruch Hu provides for him is just being not appreciating what a Kadosh Baruch Hu has to offer. Continues the Yerushalmi, Reb Lazer. He was choshesh for this teaching. So the Korban Eid explains that he would gather prutos all year long, and he would gather these bits of money all year so that he could buy a davar hamischadesh pamachas b'shana, so that he'd be able to experience the pleasure of whatever these seasonal pleasures might be. He'd buy himself a fancy fruit every once in a while. It's not pshat that he wanted to. This is too. The Korban Eid is presenting a second pshat. Is the pshat that he wanted to go out of his way so that he could experience this gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides us with? Or no, he wanted to create for himself the opportunity to say a Shehecheyanu and thereby express his HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Hashem. So that's the goal that we want to set out for ourselves. Should we sort of allow ourselves this incredible Mila, this incredible zechus of making a Shehecheyanu, and therefore put ourselves in situations that we eat such fruits that would be mechayev ourselves in Shehecheyanu. The Gemara that's the source of saying Shehecheyanu fruits is actually quite fascinating. In source number 4, Gemara in Erevin, Daf Memam and Beis. we're going to see at least two, if not three, fabulous chidushim about the Berachah of Shechiyana from this Gemara. V'amar Rabba, Kevina Beir Avhuni Boilan. We had the following Shaila when we were in the base measure of Avhuna. Ma'olam is man Rosh Hashanah v'yom Kippurim. I understand that on Shalosh Regalim we say Shechiyanu Nicha, but what about saying Shechiyanu on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur? After all, they're days of din, they're not just days of simcha, maybe you shouldn't. The Gemara has the two sides of the question, or maybe they're seasonal, and therefore you do say a Shechiyanu, or maybe they don't have a din regal, and therefore there's no Shechiyanu. So he wasn't sure about the answer. When they came to the base measure of Yehuda, said the following, Ana akara chadata. On a new kara is probably, what do we have kara when we eat it on the at the Simonim on Rosh Hashanah? What is it? Gourd? Or a pumpkin? Squash? So if I would have kara chad tanami amina zman. So let me ask you a question, Rav Bosai. Halach lemaisa, right now. Do you make a Shechiyanu only on fruit or also on vegetables?
Fruit.
What does the Gemara say that we just read? Kara, gourd, pumpkin, or squash, however you want to translate it, if that is a proper definition. Maybe it's not. But if any of those three are proper definitions of kara, so you see, you do say Shechiyanu on vegetables, which is taka, yes, how the poskim do assume. So yes, a person will say Shechiyanu if they have a bari pri adama that they haven't had in a long time. For example, we'll see explicitly in the Mishnah Berurah later, makes this point, but it is said that the Chazon Ish would make a Shechiyanu on cucumbers. Cucumber season came around, the Chazon Ish would say Shechiyanu on cucumbers. I don't know if any of us gets excited about cucumbers, but that will be a discussion that we'll have later.
We eat it a whole year.
Yeah, okay, right, we eat it a whole year, we'll see how that plays into the situation. Okay, that's the first fish of this Gemara. What's more important to me is the next three words. After he says that we say a Shechiyanu on kara chadata, Omar lei, don't bring me a raya from eating fruit, whether or not I should say a Shechiyanu for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. You can't bring me a raya from fruit because that's just Omar lei rishus lo kami boile. I'm not asking about whether you could, whether you're allowed, whether it's a rishus to make a Shechiyanu. Ki kami boile chov amai. Are you obligated to say a Shechiyanu on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Meaning, of course, if you want to, you can. The question is, do you have to, else the din of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, are you obligated to? Now, the conclusion of the Gemara that I don't really care about. What do you see from this Shachla Vitaria? You see that on a bracha, Shechiyanu on a pri, it's a din of, it's a rishus. And therefore, it can't be brought as a raya to whatever the question was. So that means it's a rishus. Now, wait a second. If it's a rishus, what does a rishus mean? That means, whenever you have a Shechiyanu at hand, is there a chiv to say Shechiyanu? There's no shkiv to say a Shechiyanu. If you want to say it, great. If you don't want to say a Shechiyanu, don't say a Shechiyanu. So that changes the playing field in a very significant way because it's never like, maybe I do have to say a Shechiyanu, maybe I don't. Because the whole thing anyway is a rishus. And if I don't want to, I don't have to. So if that were to be the case, what, for example, would you think should be the halacha by Safek Bracha, Safek Shechiyanu? Even without the din of Safek Shechiyanu, Safek Brachas Lehakel, you'd say that if it's a rishus anyway, so why should you get yourself into a question of a suffix? Avoid it, because then you don't have to do it. That would be how I would read the Gemara, although we'll see soon that the Chasam Sofer does not read the Gemara like that.
Is there a distinction between the vegetables and the fruit? From this Gemara, it's only on
vegetables? No. This is the only source in Shas, as far as I know, that there is a bracha on a fruit. And the example that's given is not a fruit, it's a vegetable.
The Gemara says a ripe
prichadash. The Gemara says a ripe prichadash. Right, so you're saying that would be, it's hard to be mechalik, right. It's hard to be mechalik on, between a pri and a adama.
What would be? What's the difference? I mean, well, we have conventions as to what we call things. That doesn't mean halakhically, a fruit is fruit, a white, a cucumber is not.
Right,
fruit,
so the way the post can assume, Lagabi the bracha.
You have stalks, you have roots, and you have stuff that comes out of the
right, stalk. So I think the way the post can assume la halacha is that whether it's going to, whether it's an annual or a perennial. Is that the distinction, right? If it grows by itself each year, or you have to replant it. So, for example, banana trees collapse after 2 to 3 years. So, therefore, it's not because they grow upside down. What? Even though it's a tree and there's a trunk, but it collapses after 2 or 3 years. So that's why it's hadama.
I know, so we don't call it considered a tree.
What is it,
right.
A tree?
But
it's hadama.
It has to come from an age. A tree by definition, both of your age.
Right.
Okay.
Again, not what the scientists will say. Scientists say that tomatoes are a fruit.
Yeah, I was going to say that something similar.
Right.
But we're talking about, okay, thank you.
So blueberries, for example, blueberries grow on the same bush every year. They're Habari Priya Eitz. Bananas, even though they grow on a tree, the tree collapses, so it's Bari Priya Dama.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I don't think there would be a difference in terms of the Rishus as opposed to Chiyuv, fruit versus vegetables. Okay. Rashi on the Gemara in Erevin, by the way, points out what Mr. Rabinowitz mentioned, that when the Gemara says that I say a shechiyonu when I eat a karachadata, a new gourd or pumpkin, Rashi points out, referencing the Gemara that was just mentioned, that a roa pri chadash, a karachadata grash ksheni roed alas chadash mishan lashana aminuzman. So Rashi sends it to that point. Now, just to, you know, I guess highlight this idea that this whole bracha of Shechinu is really only a shush. I just want to show you that it makes it lemais, you know, that it makes it to the big leagues. The Rashba is talking about a kshayla that we don't really have to discuss, but the question of the Rashba is what happens if you set a Shechinu on the grapes that weren't yet really ripe yet, and now you now the grapes are ripened and maybe they're even dried out into raisins. Should you make another Shechinu on that same grape, says the Rashba, Tshuva Mistavrash in source number 5, Shut HaRashba Chelak Avsim Reshnun, Mistavrash Ikr Hem HaNavim. That we really follow what the Ikr Pri is, and since in the end it's going to be a grape or a raisin, we shouldn't, you know, we should really just make the bracha on the raisin. And here the next point is the main point, Brachos Elu, Brachos Shal Rishusein V'lo Chova. The whole enterprise of saying Shechiyonu on fruit is only Rishus, nothing more. Now, last week, we talked about tefillin. And we talked about how to put on tefillin if a person has to start davening before Misha Yakir. And I was very excited to be able to make that shayach to our discussion of Shechiyonu. How? It's explicit in the following tour. The tour talks about the bracha that we mentioned last week. We saw there's a gemara that says that Bnei Marav, the Yidden Eretz Yisrael, used to make a bracha when they would remove their tefillin. They would say, says the Tur in Arachaim Hilchas Tefillin Simur Chavtes, that we pass the lo yivarech asher kedisham and sasav etzival l'shmor chukav, that special bracha l'shmor chukav kishim asirin, because we don't pass kin shein halach ki Bnei Marav, because they would make the bracha when they would take it off. Because they held Lila's loves man tefillin, so therefore there's a chiyuv. As we learned, there's an assay to remove the tefillin. And when they fulfill the assay of removing the tefillin, because of the pasuk Yomim Yomim, which we learned last week, so to fulfill that assay of removing the tefillin, because Laila is Lav Zman tefillin, they'd make a bracha. But we don't paskin like that, because we hold that Laila is Zman tefillin, and we don't make a bracha. That's just background. The next line is the important line. V'ro'isi kasal sher v'haigon. If Haigon says, you know this bracha that I just told you don't really make, we don't make, just the Bnei Ma'arava they make. Says Rav Haigon, HaRishus Biyado, Im Yirtzu Levarech Mevarech. Rav Haigon has a funny shita. He says, it's an optional bracha. If you want to make this bracha of taking off the tefillin Lishmar Chukov, you're welcome to, but you don't have to. Asks the Torah, Vanitama, how could that be? Devadi, Kem Shenu Chai Levarech Mevarech, Havi Bracha Levatal. Where do we see that if you want to make a bracha, go ahead and make a bracha? If you don't have to make the bracha and you do make it, that's an isidaraisa bracha levatala. Isidaraisa drabanan lasisa Hashem Hashem kachashav. So now, the Bach is going to say something fabulous. The Bach to answer up this tour's kasher of Haigon. Again, of Haigon saying that you're allowed to make this bracha whenever you want. Lishmar chukav. You don't have to, but if you want to go ahead, you can make it. The question is, the tour says, what do you mean? If it's an optional bracha, don't make it. So the Bach is going to say an incredible chiddush. The Bach is going to say that there is, at least in the world of Shechiyonu, he's going to say, is different than all other brachas in the world. The Bach is going to say that, you know where our Gemara said that the Gemara in Erevin that we saw in source number 4 that it's only Rishus. Where do we say that there's a concept of Rishus? Only by a bracha like Shechiyonu. Because by a bracha of Shechiyonu, the whole idea is that you're just expressing, it's not a birchas hamatir, that's matir diachila, presumably. It's a shevach, but it's a shevach that you're happy about a certain momentous occasion. And therefore, says the Bach, Shechianu is different than all other brachas in the world. All other brachas in the world, it's either yes or no. If it's yes, make it. If you're not chayav to make it, it's a bracha latala. Says Bach, when it comes to Shechianu, there, let's see what the brach says. The second paragraph, we could look at the second paragraph. Mashtir says that right, the Torah said that if you're not obligated definitively, it's a bracha v'atala. That's the one teretz that how a person can make a bracha on Shechianu if it's a safek, because the Gemara before is misupik. And says about Nevelesa, because if you're asked, the Safik Nami also Levarach Mishu Safik Brach Vatala. When there's a Safik, of course you can't make brachas. Penny over, right? It's a violation of a Brach Vatala. So at page number two, the underlined lines. Afiani is Taiti Nira, that there are two different kinds of brachas in the world. There's Shechianu, and there's the rest of the brachas entirely. The Ikal Chai bin Birkas Shechianu, Lishar Brachas. The Birkas Shechianu. Sheba al simchas libo shel adam, yachol levarich af al pi. Look at the next two words. She'eno vaday dechayv levarich. Shechianu. Even if you're misupik on a shechianu, if you have a suffik bracha shechianu, you can make a shechianu. Because what's the whole point of shechianu? You're not over al otisim who sameach. Umevarich lo yisal al shechianu kiyom nadazmanazeh. If you're happy for whatever reason it is. And you want to express your HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you've reached this point that you're happy about, so you can make the bracha. And therefore, even though it's a Safik bracha, you can make a Shechianu. And that's why, on one hand, Safik bracha Shechianu, the Gemara says, it's a Rishus, you can make it. And the Bach is saying, not just it's a Rishus, but because it's a Rishus, therefore, Safik brachos will also be that you can make a Shechianu. The Gemara didn't really say that. The Gemara just said that it's a reshus. But the Bach is taking that since it was a suffix, you're allowed to make it even if it's not, if it's, that you're allowed to make it even though it's a suffix. That's an extension of the Bach. Now you should just know, the Prima Gemara says that this Bach is crazy, it's absurd. How could you say that on a suffix bracha, you're going to make a bracha?
So according to the Bach, if you made it or not, you should make it.
Let's not talk about, you're talking about that if you forgot if you made it. I'd rather not talk about that case. I'd rather talk about a simpler suffix. If you're not sure if a lease, you know that you buy a car, I bought myself a new Lexus, so I'm going to make a bracha. But I'm only leasing it. Do I make it or not? I don't know. I call the rabbi. It's too late at night. I can't. Oh, the rabbi's not home. I can't call the rabbi. So should I make a bracha on a lease or not? It's a suffix. I'm very excited. I'm going to have 2 years driving this new Lexus, so I will make the bracha according to the Bach. Says the Prima Goddam. It's crazy, this Bach is a Pella, he says, and therefore we don't pass like this. But I just wanted to show you how seriously the Bach takes this Gemara of Rishus and says that even when it's a Safek, you're allowed to make a Shechianu, Misafek, Mamish a Shechianu, Misafek, where in any other Brach in the world there would be a Brach Levatel Mamish, perhaps this is the Raisa, but when it comes to Shechianu, fart, you're happy, you're appreciative that you reach Shechianu V'Kiyumanu, Lazman Hazeh. Now, I want to go on a little bit of a tangent, only because it's No, not the next point will be the tension. Now we're going to continue. I want to get the understanding of what is the nature of Shechianu, what is it actually that we're expressing HaKadosh Baruch Hu for, and therefore that's going to help us be able to paskin when we will or will not say Shechianu in numerous cases. So let me start with the Baal HaMor, which is not in the sources. Baal HaMor in Hilchas Sefiras HaOmer, a famous Baal HaMor, I mentioned it in the downstairs one time. Baal HaMor says that when do you make a Shechianu? He's coming with the following kasha. How come that by Sefiras HaOmer, we do not say Shechianu? Says the Baal HaMor, you don't say Shechianu on Sefiras HaOmer, because Ein ze elu davas nafshenu al churban beis mikdashenu. The whole point of Sefiras HaOmer is what? To count from the bringing of the Korban HaOmer. We don't have a Korban HaOmer. And therefore, when we count Sefiras HaOmer now, it's just a zecher. I wish we had a Korban HaOmer. In other words, it's a sad mitzvah. Sefiras HaOmer is a sad, sad, sad mitzvah. And therefore, you don't make a Shechianu. Hooray, I got to this point on a bracha, on a mitzvah that's sad. That's what the Baal HaMor says. The Rashba that we're going to see now is going to say, absolutely not, that's not pshat Shechianu. Shechianu has nothing to do with being simeach, has nothing to do with simcha. And with that, he's going to answer the following question. Does a person say a Shachianu on a Milah? So, we spoke about this once also, and we pointed out that it's a Machlokas, Eretz Yisrael, and Chutz La'aretz. Let's see the Rashi inside. Shalta, imavarachin Shachianu al Hamilah. V'chei mishno lo ben imavarach Shachianu. Do you say Shachianu if you have a baby boy? It's actually funny, because the way halacha lemaisa comes out is that for a boy we do not say Shachianu, but for a girl, lemaisa, the Mishnah says that you could say a Shachianu, which itself, maybe we should talk about next week, saying Shachianu when you have a girl, what's the Shaila? The Shaila is, there's a sif in the Shulchan Aruch, it's a Gemara that says, Mishalo Ra'as Chavero, whatever, you say Shachianu. So, therefore, the Mishnah Berurah says, if you haven't seen your friend in a year, you're going to say Shachianu. Or 30 days or a year, you're going to say Shachianu. Certainly, or your Kona and Eved, you say Shachianu. Certainly, if you have a baby, which is presumably more exciting than that, you should say Shachianu. And based on that, there are poskim who say when a baby is born, a Shachianu is recited. Now, not a boy because of a different reason. Since the boy helps out in the fields and helps numerous people, you say Hatov HaMeitiv, and whenever there's a Hana to a lot of people, more than one person switches from Shachianu to Hatov HaMeitiv. But we're not going into that. But at least the girl is not going to work in the fields, and it's just the fact that you're happy there's a girl born, but she's not necessarily going to bring a toilet to the people around her. She's not going to be working in the fields and making money. Then there's no Hatov HaMeitiv. You should say Shachianu. But I saw some of the poskim reject it and say no. It's only when you speak, there's a discussion in the poskim, when you, somebody who you knew and you haven't seen, then there's a certain simcha that's brought when you see them again. But somebody who you've never seen, a pen pal, for example, and you're excited to meet a pen pal, then you wouldn't say Shachianu. So maybe it wouldn't apply to a birth. But that's a different sugya. Maybe we could talk about that another time. What's the halacha here about bris milah? So what's the famous answer? Why don't we Ashkenazim and Chutz La'aretz, why don't we make a Shachianu in on a bris milah?
Pain of the baby.
Pain, right? That's what everybody says, right? Wrong, right. Says Rashba. Tshuva, mistabed the kol shenol lo ben tzarech v'ay Shachianu, l'ashor ha'isino, shenagu kein. It makes sense that we should make Shachianu, but no one does. V'shem ha'asur rishus. Oh, maybe it's because, we'll get to the pain in a second. Maybe, says the Rashi, you know why the minhag is not to make a Shachianu? Because Shachianu is only, what did we learn in the Gemara in Erevin? Anyway, it's only Rishus. So, again, forget the Bach that we just said, that when it's a Safek, you could do it anyway. If it's only Rishus, what should you do if you're not sure about it? If something, you don't have to do it, it's only optional. And you're not sure if you should do it or not. So you avoid it. Shema Asur Rishus. Kekarachad, until like the new gourd or pumpkin that he was eating. It's not obligatory.
What are you sure?
Fine.
What's the definition of being sure? That you are sure you have to make a Shachianu.
The halacha states that this is something. When I buy a car, I know that you have to make a Shachianu. When I lease a car, I don't know.
And you're going to have a baby. What happened when I'm doing the bris? It says anyway.
Let's say, hold on. Fine. Let's skip to the second underlying line. Aval al hamila ein omrim zman. For bris mila, you should not say Shachianu. Umihu ein hatam machmas isle tzairu liyunuku kumosh amarta. Who's amarta? You. Everybody in the shir. Everybody thinks that we don't make a Shachianu because it's tzairu liyunuku, says Rashba. No, that's not the reason. Where do you, yes, have that svara? Shlonemar tam ze ele bevircha shasimcha b'ma. Oh, no. We do have that svara, but in the context of a different bracha. As far as Shachianu, the fact that we're bitzar doesn't make or break a chiyav of Shachianu. Aval bircha Shachianu, this is the key line. Ein atluya b'simcha. You remember I told you the Balamar? Balamar says that there's no Shachianu sfiras to Omer. Why? Because it's not a simcha dika mitzvah, it's a sad mitzvah. So here he's arguing. He's saying, no, don't say like the Balamar that's telling on simcha. Shachianu, and this is the key line. This Rashba is telling us that Shachianu is recited on an occasion from which you derive benefit. Rabosai, do you derive benefit from giving your son a bris mila? A practical, tangible benefit? I'm not talking about Sechar and Olam Haba. You don't receive any practical benefit from a good tasting fruit or vegetable, you benefit from. So you make a shachianu. Giving your son a bris milah, you don't have any practical benefit. It's not a davar shemagil lo toelas, and therefore you're not going to say a shachianu. And he brings the most incredible raya. Did I mention it to you this morning? I mentioned it to you this morning. How do we see what's the best raya that shachianu has nothing to do with simcha, but rather it has to do with a tangible benefit? What happens? Rachmana litzlan, somebody passes away, and the son gets a Yerusha. What's the halacha? Dayan ha'emes, ayvei, the father passed away, and then? Shechiyonu v'kimonu v'gyonu l'azman hazeh, that I got a Yerusha. Is he b'simcha right now? Absolutely not. That's the Rashba's proof, that Shechiyonu has nothing to do with simcha, rather it has to do with a to'elis, a tangible benefit. He just got $100,000, or $1 million, $10 million. And therefore, that tangible benefit is what's the mechayev, hashecheinu. That's why when there's Yerusha, there is a shecheinu recited. Okay, that's in terms of understanding what the mechayev of shecheinu is. Now I want to go into a very gishmaka tangent that is not necessary for us to figure out what to do with fruits, but it's a very gishmaka chasam sofer, and the chasam sofer is dealing with is not really telling us halachas, but he's trying to explain away a minhag. Apparently the minhag in certain communities was that the kala, when she goes to the mikveh for the first time, before her chasana, she would make a bracha of shechianu for going to the mikveh. And the shaila was, is this a proper minhag or is it not a proper minhag? So the Chasam Sofer says, you know, you probably shouldn't, but he's going to try to give a very fabulous limud zechus on why those who have the minhag those communities that women do say shechianu before they go to the mikveh, why they should. In the context of that discussion, which we'll see right now, he knocks away what we assumed for the past 10 minutes. The past 10 minutes, we assumed that shechianu is an optional. The Gemara said it's a rishus. The Chasam Sofer here says when it says rishus, doesn't mean that shechianu is like, oh, I want to make shechianu, go ahead, make it. Oh, I don't want to say shechianu, don't make it. Look how the Chasam Sofer says. He says it's a little bit more nuanced. There's no such thing as you want to make bracha, but you don't, you know, do make a bracha if you want to, but you don't have to. In the second paragraph of source number 9, Vanir Lani Yisdaiti, Mashikosav Chazal B'Birchah Shechianu Rishus, Einan Rishus Levarich Bracha Levatol. It's not like, oh, if you want to go ahead and Bracha Latal. There are, by the way, there are more source sheets if you want to, Safi, if you want to pass us, set of source sheets down, if anybody wants. You can't just choose to make it or not make it. What are we doing with Bracha Latalas? Says the Chasam Sofer, I'll tell it to you outside. The Chasam Sofer says that there are certain things that are defined as, that are defined as simcha, certain things that are not defined as simcha. If something's not defined as a simcha, you're not going to make a shechianu on it, whether you want to or not. If something is defined as a simcha, let's say, for example, eating new fruits is a simcha. But when I eat a new cucumber, I'm not like the chazanish. I don't get excited. There, says the chasam sofer, if you don't get excited from a cucumber, there you have the rishus to not say shechianu. But if you do get excited from a cucumber, you have the chiyuv to say shechianu on that cucumber. So all the word rishus means, it doesn't mean that you ever have the choice to make it or not make it based on what I want. Never, says the chasm sofer. That's not what the Gemara in Erevin said when it says that shechianu is a rishus. It just means that there are certain scenarios that are subjective. But if you are happy at whatever thing you are experiencing, and Chazal see that for like eating fruits, for example, and you are happy about it, you are obligated in Medina to say shechianu. So that whole possibility that we were entertaining before, that, hey, just be mekel anyway, it's all rishus, so just avoid the rishus, Chasam Sofer says, no, that's not what the word rishus means. Now, in this context, he sets down a tremendous chiddush to explain why maybe a kala should say shechianu before she goes to the mikveh. He says the following in the third paragraph, nearly hachra sefer pritoar, shakomi, the second underlined line in the source, when you start off with a new chiyuv, then maybe a Shech Yonah should be recited. Not when you're doing a mitzvah that you have never done before. No, no, no. That's not correct. That's not the right way to see it. That you never did this mitzvah before. But you're starting, you're embarking on a new chiyuv ha-mitzvah. So therefore he's going to say that when a kala, a woman, let's start with the bar mitzvah, a bar mitzvah boy, he's starting his chiyuv of mitzvahs, he's about to put on tefillin, he's starting to get a chiyuv of tefillin, so he should say a Shech Yonah when he becomes bar mitzvah, not for the mitzvah of tefillin that he never fulfilled before, but for the onset of the chiyuv of the mitzvah of tefillin, and all chiyuvim that come from here on. Again, it's not a making a bracha on the mitzvah of tefillin. It's a bracha on the chiyuv. It's a chinuch, milashon, not milashon teaching, but milashon chanukah, sabayis, an inauguration of the chiyuv. And therefore, says the Chasam Sofer, gval gavart. Chasam Sofer says, women don't put on tefillin. So why don't we mechanech a woman in her chiyuvim? Well, what are a woman's chiyuvim? Nida chala, Adaka Saner. So presumably, which one of these comes first? Presumably, going to the mikvah before she's married, it comes before the other three. And therefore, in the same way, a bar mitzvah boy is going to say a Shech Yonah, not on the mitzvah tefillin, but on the his chanchus of the chiyuv of mitzvahs that he's embarking on. So too, perhaps, says the Chasam Sofer, as limud zuchus, for those communities where the women would say a Shech Yonah before they would go to the mikvah for the first time, that's her chinuch, that's her kilu delayed bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah, whatever you want to call it, and that's her chinuch in the mitzvah of an isha, and just like a bar mitzvah boy should make on his nuchi of so to that where perhaps that's where this minhag to say Shech Yonah on a woman's first tevila. Okay, so now we understand that rishus of the Gemara in Erevin doesn't really mean a rishus. So life is not as flexible as it had been until now, according to the Chasam Sofer, and you really have to decide, is there a chiyuv to say a Shech Yonah, or is there not a chiyuv to say a Shech Yonah? According to the Chasam Sofer, if you're not excited about the fruit, you should make a Shech Yonah. Yeah. You should not, correct, you should not. I mean, between you and me, it's not good for this shir, but that which we say is Shech Yonah on Rosh Hashanah, even if you didn't have any fruit, you didn't have any new ties, you still say Shech Yonah while it's the yom. But it's a suffix, so we try to be machmir, to have other mechayvim as well.
Isn't there a distinction between Matar Shech Yonah and Shech Yonah on the yantar and Shech Yonah on the fruit?
Yeah, that was, the Chasam Sofer said that in between lines. They said, yeah, the other lines. Yeah.
So when we're talking about the Shech Yonah on the yantar,
but he's talking about the fruit.
Which is the root of Shlatz after the
yantar. No, we're just trying to two different apples. It's the same bracha to knock off both. Okay. So, as we mentioned before, the Gemara tells us, not the Gemara that I quoted, but the other Gemara says that Harod Pri Chadash Mevarich Olav Shech Yonah, and Rashi said, when you see it, look at the rush. Does anyone say a bracha when you go into Gourmet Glat a week before Rosh Hashanah and you see this crazy-looking dragon fruit with spikes coming out all over and it's like bright green and purple and yellow? Do you make a bracha when you walk into Gourmet Glat? No. You wait till your Rosh Hashanah table and you say Shech Yonah then. What do you mean? But the Gemara says, Haroah, Pri Chadash, Zot the rush, in Maseches Erev and Gimel Siman Yud, in source number 10, Nagu Olam Lekva HaBracha B'Shasha Ochel, Mimin HaChadash. The next line I really don't understand. If anyone has a pshat, I'll appreciate it. Says Rash, how come you don't make a bracha when you see it, like the Gemara says, but excuse me, rather when you eat it? Kamo shehechiyonu da'asiyas lula v'suka shekovin b'sh'as kiddush hayom. Just like, theoretically, you could say a Shech Yonah when you are ma'age the lulav, and when you build the sukkah, you could say a Shech Yonah. The Yishalmi says, go ahead and make your Shech Yonah when you build a sukkah. But we don't do that. We do it when we sit in it. So too, even though you could theoretically say the bracha of Shech Yonah when you see the fruit and Gourmet Glat, we wait till you eat it. I don't really get what his raya from lulav and sukkah.
The svar of roa is because these are referring to farmers who see the first fruits of their trees, so there's tremendous.
What's the difference between a farmer who's, oh, you're saying there's more of a simcha because he's excited about it. Uh-huh.
Same thing with the sukkah. We don't make the Shech Yonah when we're sitting in the sukkah. You don't make the Shech Yonah on the fruit until you eat the fruit, not when you see the sukkah, you're building the sukkah. It's when you're sitting and you're doing the mitzvah. That's what you make.
So doing the mitzvah is
like eating the fruit. When I'm doing it,
I would like to hear something more. more substantial. I hear what you're saying, but I think that has to be. I think that has to be something.
Why make a shachiyonu before kiddush?
What?
Why not make a shachiyonu before kiddush when you're sitting in sukkah? Tzatzki yeshiva sukkah. That's right away. Nobody does that.
That's going to be another shir. Whether you say shachar, we didn't talk about tonight. Whether you say shachar before the bracha, samach to the. Let's say you're eating a new fruit, right? So you make the shachar right before you eat the new fruit, or before the bracha. Meaning, what goes first, bar pri eitz or shachianu, or shachianu then bar pri eitz? That's a different shir. Maybe next week or in 2 weeks or something. Okay, so let's skip to. Source number 13. Now we're going to start getting into the sugya that we really are aiming towards. We have the background. We understand the bracha shechianu. We understand that rishus doesn't really mean rishus. We understand it's really on, it's also on vegetables. We understand that it's only on shas achila, not on shas ri'ya. But now let's talk about the issue that we want to talk about. Let's say you have a fruit that really you could get all year long. So will you say shechianu? So it says the Beis Yosef, and we'll see the conclusion of the Beis Yosef articulated more clearly than the Shulchan Aruch in the next source. Says the Beis Yosef, "Kos b'shem shiru gaon, shem avarach en shachiano ela al davar hamischadish mizman uzman. Aval davar she'enu mischadish, afil yesh yom shlo achal, eino mevarach." Let's say it's been 7 years since you ate a potato. Let's assume, I think it's fair to assume that potatoes in America are available and they grow all year long. I don't know if that's true or not. Let's say potatoes grow all year long and they're available all year long. But I haven't eaten a potato in 7 years. Okay, let's make it a little more exotic than a potato. Let's make it a sweet potato. Okay? So I haven't eaten a sweet potato in 7 years, and I love sweet potatoes. So am I going to make a shechianu? Absolutely not. What happens if I was in Eretz Yisrael for the past 7 years, learning in Kol in Eretz Yisrael for the past 7 years, I come back to America, the one thing that I can't wait to get back for is to see my mother and to eat sweet potatoes. Doesn't change anything. It's the fruit, it has to be bami zman lezman. The fact that you didn't partake in it in many years, that doesn't change diddly squat about the chiyuv of shechiyah. That's not a mechayiv. The fact that you haven't done something for 7 years, that's not a mechayiv. The mechayiv is that the fruit is a fruit that it comes mizman lezman. That's what this line in the smak said.
Because of refrigeration and distribution that happens today.
That we'll get to. We'll talk about refrigeration soon.
Blueberries in the winter when I grew up.
Right, so that we're going to, that's we're going to build to that. We're going to build to that. That we'll get there soon. Okay. Now, once we're talking about something that is mischadesh yearly, meaning it only comes out in the spring or summer like most fruits do, what happens if there's a two crops a year? The second paragraph of source 13. Priya mischadesh pa mayim b'shana. That also maybe could be considered Efshur debami zman lezman mikrei mevarach nolav b'chol pam shechianu. Maybe you could say shechianu twice a year. What's an example of something that has two seasons a year? I don't know. Any ideas? What?
Wheat.
Right. Yeah, but I don't want to get into wheat because.
Twice.
Yeah, yeah, no, but that's, we plant, but everything. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but bread anyway, that's not our sugya, but bread has a different set of halachas for shechianu in terms of wheat products. We're not going to go into that. Okay. And then let's see the last line of source number 13, right after the three dots. Because of Reb Manoach. Anyone know who Reb Manoach and Sefer HaMenucha is? I don't know what's enough with the Sefer. Anyone know about it? I Googled it. Nothing, I didn't find anything. Okay. Mistabra dal esef hamischadesh einu mevarech. You don't make a bracha on grass that grows anew. Sha'arei pe'amim sheyachol hiskayim kol hashana. Mash'en ke bekaro ushar peros ha'aretz v'ha'etz. Says the, and this is a very important line. There's a difference between grass that could stay on the ground. If you look on some of the lawns around here, even though, well, we'll see what happens next week after the snow. But there's green grass all year long. Or at least grass. I don't know how green it is. Let's assume there's green grass all year long. As opposed to fruit, which will simply not last all year long. And therefore, even if you would eat the grass, let's say, you would eat the grass, you'd have some kind of, I don't know, sushi, seaweed, nori food. You would not make it because it stays all year long. So if we stopped here, if we had to paska based on this last line, of the Beis Yosef, quoting this Rabbeinu Manoach, it sounds like, if it's not mischadesh, I have it all year long, it grows, Let me rephrase that. Even if it is mischadesh, every year it grows again every spring, but it stays green all year. Last year's stuff is still around. Even if it is a davar hamischadesh mishana lashana, but since it stays around intact all year long, it does not warrant a bracha. So if that would be the case, let's start thinking. Let's say I have these refrigerated dates, right? Refrigerated dates, even if they do grow certain times of the year, but they're around all year long, they're available all year long, it sounds from this that I would not make a bracha. That's if that's what I would think at this point. Now we're going to see these mishaburas, and then we're going to finish with Ramosha's psak, and we'll finish for the evening. Let's go through this mishaburah together. Let's see source number 4, source number 15, the Ramah in Resh Chaf Hei Sif Vav. And this is going to be the source where we're going to figure out what to do with fruits that are available all year. It's going to basically quote the halakha that we saw, but it's going to change a tiny letter or word. Prishim eschadish beis palmin b'shana. Mevarach alav shechianu. You say this shechianu twice. Aval... If something doesn't have a set time that it comes into the, you know, that it re-emerges, it does not get a new shechianu. Lachain, ein mevarach an shechianu al yerek chadash to omeid kol hashana bekarka. Omeid kol hashana bekarka. If you look back at the Sefer HaManoach that we read at the end of source number 13, look at the words a little bit carefully. He says, after Sefer Menuchim, parentheses, he says that on Esef HaMischadish, Ein Mevarach Harei, Pa'amim Sheyachol Hiskayim Kol Hashana, it could remain extant all year long. And the Ramah quotes it in a different way. He said, it's Omeid Kol Hashana Bekarka. What are those words, Omeid Kol Hashana Bekarka? So, the Magen Avraham has two pshatim. Maybe it just means, like I was explaining, Omeid Kol Hashana Bekarka means it stays on the ground. Grass grows, and grass grows on the ground all year long. Since grass grows all year long, you don't make another bracha on it. Now I'd like to show you another pshat in the... I'm sorry, I'll turn to the last page. Domei kol hashana bekarka. You don't make a bracha on something that is... grow that is available all year round. Top line, Ratzalom sheyesh yerek shedarku lamod kol hashana bekarka. And therefore, it's not Bami's Zman Zman, you don't make a bracha. Now look at this. He's quoting the Mishnah Berurah, quoting the Magen Avraham, he says a nupsha. He says, what is it? Remember the Ramah changed one word? He didn't say that it's miskayim, the item is miskayim. He said it's bekarka. You know what the Magen Avraham says in the second pshat? Bekarka means that people bury it in the ground. Something that people bury in the karka, that's considered that it's around all year long, and therefore you should not make a new bracha on it. Let's see that inside. Yesh lefarish od in the third line of on page 4. The kavanas rama hainu, when the Rama said that this thing like grass is miskayim kol hashana bekarka, it doesn't mean that it's sitting on the ground, it's growing on the ground. Hainu shemat minim oso bekarka beboros. They preserve it. They put it in the basement, they put it in a refrigerator, they put it in a freezer. They put it underground, and that's how it's miskayim. And that's not something that you can make a bracha on. According to this Magen Avraham, you see something incredible. You see that even if something is grows only once a year, it reemerges every spring, but you maintain it somehow, artificially, by burying it somewhere, or by, I'm extending it, by putting it in a fridge or a freezer, it does not get a bracha. It does not get a bracha. Let's leave dry fruits out for now, because dry fruits is a different sugya. Maybe we'll talk about it next time. Yeah, let's talk. It's a different sugya for whatever reason. Just, let's leave it out for now. If we stop here, but by the way, let's just see the last line of this Mishnah Berurah on top of page 4, right before 16, just because it's very geschmack. Almine lifton, shekorn merin, v'ribin, v'ugerkes. What's merin?
Carrots.
Ribin? Rubia. What's rubia? Peas, thank you, black-eyed peas, I think my son Prione says. And ugerkas, those are gherkins or cucumbers. Mevarachon leim shachiyano. Fine, like I told you the Chazon Ish, he used to say shachiyano, cucumber, according to Mishnah Berurah. Okay, fine. So if everyone's excited, go ahead. Most of us, I don't think, will get excited. The Pesuk can say that most of us don't get so excited from carrots and from cucumbers. Now, I want to share with you, we're not going to read it inside, I want to share with you an incredible Igros Moshe. If we stopped now, we'd be assuming that, according to this new reading of the Ramah, that anything that stays on the ground, that's in the ground for a whole year, you don't make a bracha on. This new reading is that people put it in the ground. Not just that it's grass which just stays on the ground all year, it doesn't get a bracha. But if something that comes yearly, emerges anew yearly, but people put it in the ground, it also doesn't make a bracha, get a bracha. Now, Rav Moshe is going to say an incredible, incredible chiddush. He's going to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made two kinds of things in the world. Potatoes and strawberries. Your Alta Zayda lived on potatoes. Right? How does the song go? Montig. You know the song? The song, it's a Yiddish song that I used to know. Sunday was potatoes, Monday's potatoes, Tuesday's potatoes, Wednesday's potatoes, something like that, and then Shabbos is fried potatoes. Okay, so the year before the Israeli Yom, I guess there's also... Okay, very good. So says Rav Moshe, listen to this incredible Chiddush of Rav Moshe, and I think it's a gigantic Chiddush, I don't think it's the Pashas, listen to this Chiddush of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe says, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to subsist on potatoes, and he talks about potatoes specifically, but potatoes only grow once a year. So how does Hashem want us to live on potatoes if they only grow once a year? What is Hashem expecting of humanity to do? To put them in the refrigerator, to put them on the ground, to preserve them. Therefore, since Hashem is giving us a staple and expecting of us to preserve them, that which they are preserved is as though it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu continuing the growth, their gidul. And therefore, they're not new, and therefore you can't make a shechnianu. As opposed to strawberries. Strawberries, which you could put in the refrigerator also for, let's not talk about straws. What could you put in the fridge for cucumbers and carrots, right? Which you do make a shachianu. You could live without these fancier fruits. Apples you could keep in a refrigerator for months and months and months. But since we don't need apples to live on, so therefore we won't consider it that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us apples that they have to be, that since you have to live on them, you mela have to preserve them. No. Apples don't have to be preserved. If you want to have an apple at a weird time of the year, that's your thing. But it's not that it has to be like that, because we don't subsist on apples.
But in other parts of the world, potatoes are not stable.
Fine. Rice.
Rice.
In China it would be rice. The same thing would be by rice. 100%. But in our parts of the world where all these more exotic, not even so exotic, even an apple and an orange, are not basic staples of consumption, says Rav Moshe, if you, for whatever reason, want to preserve it, put it in a fridge, put it buried underground to keep it for a long period of time, you can't say that it's part of the Bria as though HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it that way, and therefore it's a gidol of that's an all year long gidol. No, it grew at one point in the year, and you, crazy Americanish, mefunuk, wants to preserve it for the rest of the year. That's your problem. That's not like HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it. And therefore, based on this, Rav Moshe comes out with an incredible chiddush, and he says that when you preserve something, if it's a staple like potatoes, it's as though HaKadosh Baruch Hu preserved it, and therefore it's around all year, you will not make a shachianu. However, if you have something like dates, or like oranges, or like apples, which are not staples to the human diet, you choose to preserve it, it's not like a Kodesh Baruch Hu preserving it all year, and therefore it is something that is only that is Bami Zman Lozman, and therefore Mikra Hadin, you can, this is the Maskan of Rav Moshe, one can say a Shechianu on a fruit, but not on a potato. Even if that they both are refrigerated for a whole year, because fruits that are refrigerated for a whole year, that's you who are refrigerating for a whole year. As opposed to potatoes, which are refrigerated, it's as though, since Hashem expects it to be a staple of your diet, it's as though HaKadosh Baruch Hu is refrigerating it, because He expects it as a staple of our diet, and therefore it is the continuation of its gidul instead of being in the plant. It's in a fridge underground. And that's an incredible chiddush. You see how complicated this svara is. That's incredible. So therefore, Moshe comes out halacha lemaisa, that if there is something that's kept refrigerated all year, you can say a shachiyon on it, unless it's something like a potato or rice, which is a basic food, basic staple, you will not. Just to finish off with one, what we talked about tonight was really the shaila of fruits that are available all year. What about stuff that's brought from other countries? That we didn't talk about, that Moshe does. And we'll finish with this. It's a beautiful sefer, Vizos HaBrachot. This is the old version. There's a new one in gray. So he's very halacha lemaisa. And he says, I didn't have a chance to get into the tshuvas in this. He says that following the Beis Yosef that we saw earlier, that we only say Shachiyon HaSen as Bami Zman L'Zman. Just because that means, if you have, let's say in New Zealand, kiwis are growing all year long. Then, if they bring a kiwi to me in America, I don't care what time of the year it is, since it's around all year long in that original country, I can't make a shachiyonu. If, however, the kiwi's in that original country, it happens to be here, it's winter, but in New Zealand, it's summer, because we live on opposite sides of the equator. So therefore, it is a seasonal fruit, and therefore, I can say a shachiyonu on a kiwi in America during the winter. Why? Because it is bamis man lezman. It's a seasonal fruit in New Zealand, where the fruit comes from.
This is all based on the idea that fruits are being brought from external, but actually today they're growing, especially vegetables, in greenhouses. So how would that be?
That's a great question. We'll finish with this. If a vegetable is grown in a greenhouse, let's say in America they're growing tomatoes right now in the middle of the winter. Okay, so tomatoes are being grown right now in the middle of the winter. So that presumably makes it that it's not something that's bami zman l'zman, it's something that's grown all year, and presumably you shouldn't make a shachiyonu.
Unnaturally growing it.
Yeah, I don't think it makes it. I don't know if it should make a difference if it's natural or not natural. I'm not really sure. Halacha l'maisa, even Rav Moshe has a tremendously wild chiddush to allow fruits to say a shachiyonu on fruits. He says, l'maisa, it's better to err on the side of caution when it comes to Shechianu. But at least the second night of Rosh Hashanah, where there's an extra tzad, you can say Shechianu on new fruits, but on fruits that are refrigerated all year long, it's better to, even though he just explained why it should be mutter, he says it's still better to avoid it l'chatchila. So therefore, if there are fruits that are around all year long based on refrigeration, it's proper, it would be more l'chatchila to not say Shechianu. If something is a new fruit that comes from another part of the world, one can say a shachiyonu as long as it's seasonal in that part of the world.
Carob
is a different shaila for whatever example, whether or not you're supposed to say a shachiyonu carob, and I don't remember why. I think because maybe it stays on the tree for, it's like an esrog, it stays dar mishana l'shana. So therefore, boxer, it's a more of a complicated shaila if you say shachiyonu. The post is going to say it's more complicated, so maybe better not to.